Our number two is on your table right now. I'm glad you're along tonight. Dr. Tom Termato is with us. We're going to take a look at the Gulf. Now, let me ask you an honest question, folks. When's the last major news story you saw in any alleged American media outlet that had to do with the tragedy, the catastrophe of the Gulf of Mexico, which is literally dead? And it's going to stay that way for a tragically long time. Dr. Tom Termato has been right on top of this story from the beginning, working 7.5 days a week. He's back with us tonight for this hour to bring us up to speed and give us an idea of how it looks from his position, which is where, Tom? Where are you right now?
I'm in Tallahassee, Florida.
Okay.
And
how are things? Let's just give our folks out there an overview. The government, of course, has pretty much put this thing to sleep. They've washed their hands of it. And it's all over, and the seafood has been adjudged to be perfectly fine, etc. Meanwhile, we have hundreds of thousands or millions of people who are suffering to one degree or another from a variety of health issues. Tell us more.
Well, everything you said is correct, Jeff. And, you know, the problem that we have here is that all of the independent study, all the research, all of the testing, laboratory testing that's been done outside of the framework of the U.S. government, BP Corporation, everything has turned up something on the seafood. Every independent test has been conducted. So we have a group of 15 panelists, scientists, who have signed on to a research group that is going to take this to another level. Much as the like the architects did for 9/11, where they got together and they said, "Hey, you know, this doesn't add up, 9/11. Let's look at this scientifically and bring our findings to the government."
So we need dozens of scientists to step forward and do this.
That's exactly right. I think you know, we're at a point with the Gulf whereby if the scientists and the PhDs and researchers really step up to the plate, they could bring to bear enough pressure on the government and BP to start making statements that are accurate and truthful about the quality of the seafood and the safety of the water.
Yeah.
And you know what's going on in the beaches. So
I just wish, Tom, that we wouldn't as a people be so damn dumb as to believe anything the government or BP tells us about anything, especially the edibility and the nutritional aspects of contaminated seafood from the Gulf. And it's all contaminated.
This is the biggest rub for the people down here, because you know, if you live on the Gulf, you know, most of these folks are avid seafood eaters, and
oh yeah,
to send them the message that the seafood is safe is really what we're doing with that message. You know, Barbara Weissman, she's the international president of the Earth Organization out in California.
Mm-hmm.
She's put together an extraordinary video. Okay, they're an environmental group, and I can't say that we've had a lot of good response from the long-term, you know, big environmental groups out there, because they're just not really on top of this the way you think they should be.
Well, maybe they are on top of it, but maybe because the hand that feeds them is controlling a lot of the scenes behind the scenes, they're not doing much. And that's a possibility.
And that's precisely what we tend to point to as well. So you know, this group out of California has put together a video.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, an extraordinary video.
Is it up on the internet?
It is.
Well, please send me a link, unless you already have, but I want to make sure people see this.
Yeah, it's basically a three-part video called "The Hidden Crisis in the Gulf," and it's extraordinary. Barbara Weissman actually produced it with some of the top scientists and researchers in the Southeast that have put their testimony public on this video, and it's compelling. And basically, it draws you down to a conclusion that there has always been a very safe and non-toxic, easily applied bioremediation agent that could have been used throughout the entire course of the spill. It's actually an NCF approved product. Okay, so it's already approved. National Contingency Plan has given it its thumbs up, and it's been used on countless spills. And the president, Steve Pettigo, who I've talked to a number of times, is just kind of knocking his head against the wall with EPA, trying to figure out why they won't let him apply this on the spill. So the video, you know, is sort of one piece of a campaign that we're starting. And you probably saw that letter that you posted from BK Lim to the two,
yep.
The two congressmen who are, you know, heading up various committees that would be in a good position to initiate a congressional hearing around this. So we're hoping that, you know, coming at it from a number of angles, the government will be compelled to step up to the plate. They've got to at some point. They can't ignore it much longer, really.
I'd rather have them be compelled to step up to the edge of the cliff and then take one more step. We need to start over again. I don't trust these people. I expect nothing will come from them of any benefit to the American public at large, and most especially our brothers and sisters, friends and relatives and neighbors in the Gulf. All of us. We're all Americans, and we've got to get away from this label thing and stop thinking compartmentally. No, I don't trust them. I wish I could say, great, Tom, let's put pressure on them, and they're going to crack, and they're going to come through, they're going to turn 180 degrees and start telling us the truth. I don't think so. I wish I did. I think it's up to us to make the effort and to literally use every means possible to try to reach every person possible in the Gulf outside of their little paradigms and milieus of local television news, national television news, and even if they're on the Internet looking at the usual suspects. We've got to break through this and tell these people that they have been not only lied to, but in many cases consigned to an early grave. And that's the damn dark truth of it.
I think that what we're trying to do with this letter, and the letter that BK Lim wrote, of course, is just one, you know, initiative to have them commence a full-blown congressional hearing. But the other letter that is being produced is one that is being sent directly to Obama. It's a very specific breakdown of questions and concerns that when the letter is released, if they don't answer the questions, then they're guilty. And if they do answer the question, then they're guilty. So
yeah.
We have a letter here that, you know, is going to be a centerpiece of this campaign. And really, we're talking about, we've identified 7 or 8 different individuals in government, from Sheila Jackson at the EPA to some other folks at NOAA to other folks at in some other cabinet-level departments. And essentially, all these people have done things that represent a violation of their oath to office. So, you know, we've got, and you know, this is all, it's all in the public record. I mean, everything they've done and said for the past 9 months, 8 plus months, it's all in the public record. So you have folks that really have done things, you know, conducted themselves in a manner that you could say treasonous. I mean, really, they've done things that we feel constitute criminal behavior.
Absolutely.
So,
yep.
You know, what we're doing is we're ratcheting up our campaign because of what you said. You know, you don't trust them and we can't trust them. And at this point, we agree 100%. So we believe strongly that we have to take a different tack, a much more aggressive one, and one that holds those individuals accountable, personally accountable. You know, what they've got going for them, Jeff, is that is the law that says that while they're in office, they enjoy immunity. And so some of these folks are out of office. Thad Allen is no longer in his position. A couple of other people are no longer there and therefore are vulnerable. They're personally liable and they can be held, you know, criminally liable for crimes if it can be proven they've committed them while serving in their respective positions.
Well, Thad has, shall we say, lots of opportunity. To do exactly that. Jeez.
But, you know, our attitude is that, you know, there's not going to be any change in policy or attitude or conduct. Our strong feeling is unless someone feels heat, someone has to feel heat. And as long as there's no heat, or they can spread it around so, you know, diffusely so that no one really gets the pain, which is what they do with everything. Unless we can, you know, hold someone's feet to the fire, and we believe that we can, all the way up to Obama. I mean, his administration is really, really, they're guilty of committing crimes against the whole region of the country.
Guilty against a number of counts here, and absolutely crimes against a number of regions of the country. crimes against all Americans, crimes against the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. We don't have to stop with the Gulf issue. I mean, the man is obviously the worst president, in my opinion, in modern history. Anyway, hang on just a minute. We'll be back with Dr. Tom Tremato, one of the heroes of the Gulf tragedy. And out of all tragedy, usually arise heroic individuals. And Tom is certainly right at the top of that list. Back in just a minute. Okay, back with Tom Tremato. Tom, let's go out to the site of the Macondo disaster. What's out there right now? What's the latest intelligence you have? What are people flying around there telling you? There were three very deep water drilling rigs there. I'm told there are now four. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not, but what do you know about that, and what can you tell us about what's going on at the site?
Well, you know, Jeff, whether there are three or four is difficult to pinpoint. You know, what we've heard is that the site, the primary site that keeps track of these large oil rigs, is often not accurate, is what we've come to find out. So that sometimes, and we don't know if that's that they're not accurate purposefully, or if it's just part of their process of posting information. We can't answer that question. But we do know that it's not always accurate, because we posted some articles earlier in the game here, and went back to, we just saw some commentary at the Oil Drum, a couple of different sites, and it was borne out that even those guys who, you know, the Oil Drum is full of some of the most competent professionals in the industry who really know what time it is here. And, you know, the comments that were coming from them was that you can't always rely on that data. So we do know that there's a lot of activity, and the activity, we believe, revolves around the cracks and the fissures that are there still leaking.
Sure.
There's a lot of grouting going on. And
describe grouting for our listeners, please.
Well, you know, if there's a crack or a fissure that's opening up in the Macondo prospect as a result of the oil and gas reaching a level in the sub-seafloor sediment, whereby it can find egress up into the seafloor and into the Gulf, these cracks can be dealt with. Well, I shouldn't say they can be dealt with. They try to deal with
them.
Well,
they can try.
And they take a very high-pressure grouting gun and fill it with a cement type material. It's not really cement. It's a mixture of quite a few different ingredients. It's meant to be, inserted into the cracks and the fissures and grouted, just like you would grout tile in your kitchen.
That's kind of like an undersea caulking that's not water soluble and goes off, so to speak, and hardens.
Except the problem with that is that, you know, it's kind of like when you're grouting something, all the surfaces need to be clean and free.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in this instance, you've got hydrocarbon effluent that's been upsurging through all these cracks and fissures for, you know, how many months?
Sure.
And so when you insert that grout in there, invariably it will come up because there's no...
It can't set up. No, it can't set up.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
of course.
So it's kind of like, you know, this is the problem, they say. I mean, how do you deal with... trying to grout.
So they have the little robots down there that are running around with hoses and so forth, trying to grout these cracks and crevices. Is that what we're getting?
They do. That's exactly right. They've got all the equipment they need to go out and do this in their ROVs and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And but the problem is that, you know, you've seen some of the articles that we've posted around this issue, and that is that there's just no way. It is impossible, given the amount of change flux that seafloor has gone through. It's impossible to capture all the grout this way, all the cracks this way, and by the way, when you do, eventually, whether it's a week or a month or 3 months, all that grout is going to come out under pressure. There's no way it can stay there.
Of course. Do we have any legitimate measurements about pressure, about the number of crevices, cracks, fissures, and openings that are apparently continuing to proliferate around the site?
Well, I tell you, I mean, in all candor, Jeff, you know, we don't have access to...
They're not going to tell us, is the point.
This is a large, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 square miles around the Macondo prospect.
Sure.
Up to 10 square miles that is being affected by everything that went on at these three wells that were originally drilled, one of them being the big gusher.
Yep.
So, you know, at the end of the day, the only one that really knows the condition of that seafloor is BP and the federal government. And, we all suspect that the reason why they control the crime scene with such defensiveness, and, you know, is because if people really knew what was going on that seafloor, you know, you talked about a hero earlier, Jeff. Should I talk about the real hero? I mean, the real hero of the Gulf oil spill?
Please.
You know his name is D.K. Lim?
He's wonderful.
Should I go into...
Yeah, tell as much as you want. I'm hearing stories that he has been threatened and is concerned about his physical welfare. But please do, because this man has been working with Tom, and Tom has been kind enough to send me the stories that B.K. Lim has written and others. And without B.K. Lim, we'd really be in the dark. I mean, this guy has opened the door and turned the lights on in so many areas.
Well, you said it, Jeff. B.K. Lim is a Malaysian-born geohazards specialist, probably one of the top, literally one of the top in the industry in conducting geophysics studies and geotechnical profiles on seafloors. This is what he does for oil companies and their contractors, and their consultants are looking at assessing the risk associated with drilling anywhere in the ocean.
Correct.
So his particular niche of specialty involves the area of the seafloor from 0 to about 3 or 5,000 feet. Okay, that's precisely where all the problem is, right here in the Macondo Prospect. So, if you could probably go out and get one of the top three guys in the world,
we couldn't have any better than BK. No, I agree.
You posted the articles. You can go on the website and look at his CV. Look at what he's done for over 30 years in the industry. Look at his certifications, his registries, and then look at all of the highlights of his career or his work. His work was directly related to averting major disasters around the world. So he's as good as they come. The point is, D.K. Lim, who is the real hero, and I defer to this gentleman, he is the all-American hero, and yet he's not an American. He has risked his life in ways that you can't imagine.
Uh-huh.
And I hear your music come on. Should I wait for a moment? Or
yeah, please do. Just pause. That name, I hope all of you remember, B.K. Lim, L-I-M, and read all of Tom's articles. Many of them are from B.K. He has stuck his neck out there, believe it, and we have benefited from it. We'd know so little if he weren't around. It's just amazing. All right, we'll be right back with Dr. Tom Termato after this. Okay, back with Dr. Tom Termato talking about the heroic B.K. Lim. He's just an extraordinary resource for real people who are trying to confront this issue and make sense of it. Go ahead, Tom, please.
Jeff, is it appropriate for me to get into the real inside story here on your show?
Please do. I'd be fascinated for our listeners, yes.
Okay, so the state of B.K. Lim's life right now looks like this. He and his wife do not stay in either of their two homes that they own in the Asian Rim.
Right.
Because they cannot.
Right.
So they've been moving either by day or by week or by month from one location to another, from one country to another, under threat of being assassinated. And I've alluded to this in a few emails that I've sent you over the months that, you know, there are things that were going on that we could not even have BK on an interview with you because they're able to track him.
We tried, yeah.
And we've had many allusions to this predicament, but this is the first time that we've really broken out into the open with the real story. And it simply is that BK has no choice but to live his life, moving from one hotel to the next, one safe house to the next.
I think it's very, very important, and I thank you for bringing this out, because this man needs to be understood by the world at large as being a man who has put his life on the line for the betterment of humankind and the planet. And now there is quite likely a contract out on him, and perhaps his wife as well. He is literally living in fear. We talked briefly about that with Dr. Bill Deagle, And it's another despicable commentary on the depths to which this so-called sentient species has sunk. Please go ahead.
Well, you know, our intention here would be to express to not just the world, but to the oil and gas companies, the industry, the contractors, the consultants, and just to let them know that all of DK's information, and there's, you know, volumes of it that he's got over 30 years. So it's all of it has been digitally formatted and categorized, and it's all been copied, and it's all been sent to a good number of individuals around the world. So it's not like DK Lim has new information that he's going to download into the public domain that's going to blow the top off of what happened in the Gulf of Mexico. That information's already out there. We have it. It's protected. So I would encourage those companies, those individuals that have been contracted to assassinate DK Lim, that they ought to reconsider their actions because they gain nothing. They gain nothing. They prove nothing except that the oil and gas industry has put a contract on a guy who's one of the best risk assessment managers in the industry.
Right.
For doing his job well.
Right. But let's hope some oil company out there is wise enough, kind enough, and human enough to give this man some protection. All right? He serviced the country he lives in. He's served the industry for decades. They owe him something. And hopefully by putting this out tonight, we are going to make it a little bit easier for him. I don't know how else to look at it except in that positive spin. Go right ahead, please.
So, you know, again, that's well said, Jeff. I appreciate that. You know, DK Lim is not only an American hero, even though he's a Malaysian citizen, but he's an international hero. And if you look at his resume, his CV, all of his highlights, his career, you know, accomplishments, and look at each disaster that was averted because of his direct involvement. He's so high powered this way that, you know, whether the company wants to drill or doesn't drill, DK is exactly the kind of guy that they go to because they know that if they're going to go and drill anyway, no matter what, because they just want the oil, regardless of the risks and hazards that are associated with it, they still go to a guy like him because they know he's going to give them a very honest assessment. So they know what can go wrong, and then they can throw their dice and make a calculated, you know, business gambling decision about whether or not they want to, you know, destroy a body of water. But at least with BK's information, you know, he's the kind of guy that will give them the real deal, where others don't always do that. In any event, as you said, he served the industry well, and he has served the world well, and has only, functioned in a manner that is commensurate with the highest standards of the industry. Let me just tell you something that DK said recently. Actually, he's repeated this to me a number of times, Jeff. He said, the industry has changed so quickly over the past few years. Since the financial collapse, the crashes, the repeated crashes of September 15th to the end of October of 2008, since then, there's been a stark reality, especially among the capitalists who basically gamble for the commodities of the world. And they understand that fiat currency is really being devalued by the day through things like quantitative easing and all the other things that you hear on your show. And of course, that same fiat currency is being so devalued that eventually it's going to go to zero, depending on which country, how they treat it. And as that occurs, the commodities of the world, like oil and all the precious minerals and stones, et cetera, metals, precious minerals and metals, they're all going to go up in value. And, of course, those commodities that are utilized in the greatest volume, like oil, are going to soar as long as we stay on a hydrocarbon fuel paradigm for the planet.
Well, oil's up to 99 plus a barrel now, I think, so yeah.
So this price pressure, what it does is he said, Tom, what I used to do it, we used to have a full month to do a certain assessment.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden that month, and that was difficult. Getting it mm-hmm. done in the month was really, you know, jumping through hoops of fire.
Sure.
And then all of a sudden, you know, it comes down where to the contractor that he works for. Now the same job has got to get done in 2 weeks. Okay, and then he said, okay, and they're running crazy to get the job done and really not doing a good job. Then all of a sudden the order comes down, that same job is now going to be done in 1 week.
No
and
way.
So what? No, and these are basically, you know, HS&E, you know, the health, safety, and environmental standards that have been set up internationally by various regulatory bodies.
Right.
So you're not supposed. This is law. It's international law. You're supposed to comply with this, or else you're really crossing a boundary here. And so what essentially has happened is that his piece of the industry is being so marginalized and pushed to the edge, whereby they really can't conduct a reputable, credible assessment anymore. They can't do it. And so this is the state of the industry, where the HS&E is being thrown out the door. And you know sounds what happens like, when that happens.
Yeah, it sounds like the FDA.
Exactly.
And our food.
Exactly.
Disgusting. Thoroughly disgusting. Be right back with more, and just keep that name BK Lim in mind. Even if you just think about it for a moment, that's positive energy, and it's appreciated. Be right back. Okay, and back with Tom Tomato. This is really, I've known a little bit about this, Tom, but it is particularly distressing to hear, knowing how much this man has contributed to the planet and people everywhere. He is an international hero, as you said, rightly so, and we can only hope that somehow the pressure will be taken off of him. I wish others would step forward and maybe help doing that, but I don't know.
Well,
anyway,
you know,
go ahead.
Just remember that BK is one of many individuals that have been working with this conference, ongoing conference.
Uh-huh.
He is, you know, like myself, we have sort of stepped forward to be the point people, because there are many, many other individuals, whistleblowers, deep contacts, peripheral, directly involved in the industry and peripheral to the industry who have fed us a lot of information. We couldn't do what we do if we didn't have all this back channeling going on 24/7. DK Lim happens to be an aggregator in his particular realm of expertise, taking the information, dissecting it, vetting it, you know, validating it, and then, you know, working his little magic with conducting his assessments and analyses as you've seen in the article. So, you know, he's just one guy, and he's just the spearhead. A lot of people are supporting that effort. We're getting letters, you know, and have from all over the world because of a letter that he wrote to his industry, and I'll send it to you, whereby he makes a plea, a very serious and heartfelt plea to all of his colleagues in the industry to step forward, and if not publicly, to just continue to send us information from their specific areas.
Very good. Yep.
So this, yep. These are coming in. But one last thing about BK, if I could mention, Jeff, because I did invite many other journalists to listen to the show tonight. Because I felt it was important. Many of the folks have done great work around the oil spill, and they're listening. And so, anything they can write, any MP3 files, any video, anything that they can do in support of BK Lim, and their respective platforms through their websites, blogs, we would deeply appreciate it, very much appreciate it, as do the people of the Gulf Coast, because as you said many times, BK Lim is the real hero in this whole story.
Absolutely, and by all means, if they care to, I'll be glad to link right to their site. Just give me a title and a URL, and I'll link to their work. This has to be opposed. There's tyranny against this man, and maybe between all of us, we can make a difference.
I wonder if you could make an MP3 file available for the folks that missed this, Jeff.
Absolutely.
That would be great too. Then I can just say, "Hey, go to Jeff's site, click on the MP3, listen to the real situation that BK has to deal with day to day. He can't go to his home. He just thank God he's got visas that he can get through all those countries because of 30 plus years of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you know, he'd really be a sitting duck. So
agreed.
He just, in any event, one other issue, and BK and I have talked about this, and I would be remiss if I did not really hit this issue hard. And it's the issue of the red herring, what I call the specious argument called natural seepage that's being thrown out by the industry
24/7.
Okay?
Right.
And one of our articles, I'd written, I'll quote myself here. I say, there has been a very specious and false argument appearing on the Internet that explains the way the many leaks and seeps which have developed all over the surrounding area of the blown-out well is being natural. And the blown-out well in the Macondo Prospect, of course, I'm speaking of. So these new leaks and seeps and cracks and crevices, these craters, they're not natural. They are newly evolving changes in the seafloor due to the profound transformation of the subseafloor geological strata, which was brought about by the entire Gulf oil spill saga. So, you know, and what I'd like to do is quote myself again here. I say, while we do concede that there are leaks and seeps that naturally occur from time to time in the oceans of the world.
Well, sure. I've lived off Santa Barbara near it, and we had oil all the time. It's not unusual. It happens.
Except that there's been a dramatic and precipitous uptick of this phenomena in the wake of mm-hmm. undersea oil and gas operations and activities.
Well, agreed. And we had very little there. And then we had Santa Barbara oil rigs in the channel. And guess what? Exactly what you said occurred.
So two things are happening here, which I really would like to break down for the readers that are going to come across this natural seepage argument that is really false. When there are natural leaks and seeps and there's drilling in those areas, okay, what you do, the deeper you go, the bigger reservoirs, the bigger mother load they're drilling into, that is going to allow more points of egress for that to flow through natural leaks and seeps that already exist. So they can take a 10 gallon a day and transform it into 100 gallon a day because of their oil and gas exploration and drilling activity. That's number one. Number two, because of how intrusive the technology is and how invasive the machinery and the equipment are, of course, it's very easy to see, like we have in the Macondo Prospect, very easy to see how they can create brand new seeps and leaks, which they're doing all day long, not just in the Gulf of Mexico, but all over the world. So you got two issues going on here, and it's producing a high enough volume of outflow into the Gulf and into the other water bodies of the world. It's really going to cause a problem for the oceans of the world. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Well, how can it not? I agree.
We're in a real serious pickle with that. So I just want to put people on notice that they ought not to be misled by, you know, oh, we've got net. That's the oil and gas industry speaking
right.
all day long, trying to get you to just buy into their paradigm, which is drill, baby, drill. And, you know, you can't do that trying to support 7 billion people.
Smile. Be happy. Everything's okay. Just about as ugly a lie as it gets. I'm very, very concerned about the first hurricane next season that makes its way into the Gulf unless they continue to steer them all up the Atlantic coast, if they can do that. A lot of people think they can. Or down to the southwest of the Gulf. The first one that moves into the Gulf and churns it up is going to do a lot to show how much oil and pollutants and toxins are still sitting in that water body, and it's a lot, and people just don't know about it. 90% of the oil or more is projected to be sitting on the floor of the Gulf of Mexico, all over the place, because of the dispersants, which turns it into a kind of a mucoid mass, and it just sits right. It's too heavy to rise, so it just sits right on the bottom.
That does comport with a lot of the reports that we're getting, Jeff. I mean, we're hearing that the bottom of the seafloor, that the Gulf of Mexico is controlled, so controlled, in lockdown, as a matter of fact, and it, just as, you know, BP has been given the lead position
right.
of the unified command
right.
structure to enforce martial law in the Gulf of Mexico.
That's exactly what they're doing, and these university people who'd like to go out there and do research are not having an easy go of it. So,
Here's Ian McDonald, who we work with very closely. Ian McDonald is kind of like the number two guy in the OSATF, which was the Oil Spill Academic Task Force that was appointed by the Florida governor many months ago here in Florida. So he's like the number two guy in a huge institutional network of colleges and universities throughout Florida studying this. I mean, really deep. He's been on CNN, ABC regularly talking about different aspects, and he's just quoted just now saying about these, he says here, he makes a career of studying natural oil seeds, and I've talked to him many times. He knows this better than anybody, and you really ought to post the article. I'll send this to you from Florida Oil Spill Law, because he weighs in very heavily on the natural seepage issue, and this is a guy who's down there. I mean, he's actually down there with his finger on the pulse, so when you read his explanation, you'll see that this is much worse than what we're being told.
I agree. What's the latest on people actually becoming ill down there, Tom? What are you hearing?
Well, you know, this is like Ricky Ott, you know, told us beautifully in the great video, The Black Wave. It's a slow motion. It's a very slow motion play, and what we call the BP Gulf Oil Spill Syndrome, which you talk to Dr. Rodney Soto and other healthcare professionals about. Mm-hmm. It's a syndrome. It slowly comes together. First, you know, you get these symptoms, these basic symptoms that seem to show up in a lot of people. And then you've got these secondary symptoms that start to emerge in this population, in that location, that's unique to the combination of chemicals that are in that particular environment. And so what we're seeing slowly is an evolution of what we're calling BP Gulf Oil Spill Syndrome, which is directly related to exposures that people get either in the water, close to the air, eating the seafood. So you can imagine that just those three vectors of dissemination would ultimately give rise to three different syndromes. Okay, one associated with eating contaminated seafood all day long, one associated with being in the water, contaminated water all day long, which is coming in through your skin, etc., and then another one that would be associated with being exposed to toxic fumes and aerosols and benzenes, etc., VOCs. And if that was the primary vector of dissemination, that would have an entirely different type of etiology, if you will. So, you know, it's complicated. And the people in Louisiana are going to have exposures far different from the people on the west coast of Florida. At the end of the day,
right,
if you go in the water and you spend a lot of time, in areas with high concentrations of methane gas, whatever, you know, eventually it's going to have to be detoxified by your body. And if you're not real healthy in the first place, you know, it's going to manifest in some form of symptomatology.
Go ahead, Tom, real quick. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I was just going to say that there's, you know, people think that they can avoid it. And we're trying to impress upon the people who just listen to the mainstream media that there is no avoiding this. If you're in the environment, the human body ultimately takes on the same characteristics of the physical environment that it lives in. It's air, it's water, it's land, whatever
exactly.
That is, you get it. Eventually, it gets in you.
Yep.
So we're just trying to really put these, you know, the good people of the Gulf Coast on notice that the seafood should not be eaten. Case closed.
You
really ought not to spend time in the water.
Don't touch it. Stay out of it. It's closed. Closed for business. I agree with you 100%. Tom, thanks so much for all that you have done. Thank you for sharing the BK Limb Dilemma tonight. Let's all send that man and his wife and his loved ones our best, at least psychically and etherically, if not directly, and hope for the best. I think bringing this forward was very smart, and I'll be here to help in any way I can. And I will put this up in the Oil Featured Story Box as soon as we can get it loaded up there so everyone can go and listen to it.
I appreciate it, Jeff. Our prayers, all of our prayers, are directed towards BK Lim. May God bless him. And
indeed,
thank you again for giving us a great forum to throw the world support his way.
Of course. I'm happy to do it, Tom. Thank you. I'll talk to you soon.
Have a great evening.
Okay. Good night.
Good night, Don.
Dr. Tom Termato. We will pause and be back.